The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I signed with the Rad Squad in 2011, that summer. You signed at the back of a smoke pack. Roddy, I would say, is like the Irish Harry.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
Right, let's move on because time for us to turn our attention to hurling. I'm delighted to say Jamie Wall is with us this morning. Jamie, good morning to you. How are you?
Well, Jor, how are you?
Yeah, good. Owen is getting us all excited about the fact that we're a month away from one of the best sporting weekends of the year, which also involves a fairly seismic Munster hurling clash. This weekend, we get to watch a preview of it. How relevant is it? How important is it? How could it not be relevant given how close it is?
It's very relevant, but how important it is probably a better question. I would probably say that it's going to be interesting in terms of how they deal with it, but not necessarily that important in terms of, I don't know if we'll be able to come away drawing too many conclusions from what has gone on the pitch, if that makes sense.
A little bit. Now, regular viewers will know, particularly Owen, will know how obsessed I am with this kind of bit where you have the opportunity to kill your opponents. You don't go, oh, look, I'm going to let you find a little bit of rhythm here and get a bit of confidence. And I think if you're in a winning position, you should go out and win, particularly against an opponent you're about to face again.
Yeah, I think, and funny enough, when you're talking about that killing side of things, I actually watched the Tiger Woods documentary last night, and that was something that kind of really came through. Watched both parts, and it was something that really kind of came through. I think what you're saying is very relevant if you're talking from a Limerick perspective, but less so from a Cork perspective. And I suppose the reason I think that, and this isn't just the kind of bit of Kerry blood in me and I'm yerring and yodeling away all morning, but I do think that's more relevant from a Limerick perspective in that they are in a winning habit. And I know not necessarily in the immediate term, but in the sense that they're the dominant team. They're the Tiger, if you will. They're the one that, you know, have been winning in the big games. And I suppose for them, it's a case of if they can put their foot down on Cork's throat and say, no, that little bit of momentum you got, that's just the league. Shut up and get back in your box. Then great. From Cork's perspective, I don't know if there's a whole lot to be gained from showing your hand too much. Obviously, you need to kind of stick with the processes that you've put in place to an extent and try these things out. And I'm not saying you go full Q-tour and kind of play a dummy team totally, but by the same token, I think it's one thing people seeing your games and analysing them, but it's another thing giving someone a complete feel for it in the flesh. So I suppose I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I think that makes sense when you look at, you know, the big consistent winners like Kilkenny back in the day, what Limerick are trying to become now, that element of we're just going to become untouchable makes sense. But I suppose if you're the contender and you're Cork, we'll say, for example, which is what Cork are going into this game, let's make no bones about it, then I think you probably have to come at both from a slightly different perspective would be the way I look at it.
We had Taggy Fogarty on Friday night, and he was saying that they had an aura right when they were in their pomp, and as they started to lose games, the aura slipped a little bit. And he was just making the point that Limerick kind of need a win at the moment just to make sure that aura is still there. That's my contention here, is that for Cork to get out and win this game this weekend would be like, you have the chance. It's not going to be a crisis from Limerick's perspective, because obviously it's only the league and they can fix it, right? But it might be a little bit of a crisis. There's certainly doubt in their minds. You don't know that it won't, you know, like inject the little virus into the system and see what happens. Create the chaos.
I don't know. I think
you're playing those cards close to the chest from Cork's perspective.
No, it's not that at all. No, it's not that. I think any other year you might have a point, but I think this year it's very easy for, you know, people who are good psychologically, which Limerick are, and they have a good setup there. It's very easy for you to, I suppose, you know, to move these points on and not really get too bogged down in the results side of it. I think coming into the league this year, I would have classed it as the least important national league, hurling-wise, by the way. I would have classed it as the least important national league in terms of
really
the result. And I would have thought the only thing that really mattered here was getting your players through it without injuries, without picking up injuries, getting game time for this championship, and kind of, if you're a team like Cork, developing your style of play. If you're a team like Limerick, just honing it, maybe getting one or two additions.
Okay.
So, look, any other, like, I don't know, I hate to be raining down on this brainstorm that you have, and I understand where Taggy was coming from in terms of, you know, aura and that, I suppose, but they were doing that for 10 years, and it was a hugely competitive national league. And what you have to remember is that was happening over the course of 7-8 month season. Like, this is very much these games, like the first two games of the national league were challenge games, and like played out in front of empty stadiums to boot. Like, let's not lose sight of that. You know, I don't think I would say any other year there might be merit to that, and there is a small degree of merit to it, but I wouldn't be overly panicked about it if I was Limerick, if from a Limerick perspective. And you know, like, they're going to win their last game before they go into the championship regardless. Like, so I would say if they can come out of the whole thing having blooded a few players and being kind of championship ready, I don't think they're going to be overly worried.
It definitely is the least important league we've ever seen in terms of the league title itself. Like, I mean, in not even having league finals, for example, in football, I think completely just destroys the whole relevance of the competition. However, as you say, these are challenge games, and teams behind closed doors in previous years will have tried stuff in challenge games that they will be bringing to the table in championships. So maybe people are looking at it from that perspective as well, Jamie, that it's like, what can we actually learn rather than reading into the results too much? So what have you seen from the cards that Cork haven't kept too close to their chest over the last little while?
Definitely. Well, listen, the first thing that is very plain is the support play kind of game that they're looking at, and a little bit of a throwback to that kind of running game that, you know, we'll say they pioneered under Donal O'Grady. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Donal O'Grady has gone in. I think that's been well documented anyway, so I don't need to labour that point. But, you know, look, like I said, games are behind closed doors, so you're getting to see them on telly rather than in the stadium. And it's quite hard to really see exactly what's happening when you're on telly. But I was fortunate enough, I got to go to the Waterford Cork game with TG Carr and that. And one thing that was very, very clear was the running off the ball that was going on. And probably one of Cork's first puck outs, Damien Callan, and he was doing it for the entire game, was he was taking the ball almost on that half turn. He was half turned out. He was half looking at Patrick Collins, and it was going straight to him. He was going out giving the pass. But what was most interesting was, even though he's full back, and I think full backs of yesteryear would be getting cold sweats when they think of it, like, he was just continuing on his run. He was far more like a footballer, which I suppose he is. He's far more like a footballer than a hurler in that sense, in terms of his run. And I think Darragh Fitzgibbon got a score off it. It was right before the water break. And if you actually watched it back, Callan was actually going past him on the 45. And it made the Waterford player hold off. And it was just after the water break then you saw Tim O'Mahony and Darragh Fitzgibbon go beyond the ball again in that support run. And it ended up in a goal like 2-3 minutes later from a very similar play down the left-hand side. So that's definitely a card Cork haven't kept close to their chest. I suppose they didn't have a choice in terms of keeping it close to their chest, and they have to develop it. What I think is going to be most interesting from a Cork perspective is whether they can, I suppose, develop not so much a plan A or not so much a plan B, but a kind of a second plan A to run alongside this, because you know yourself, pardon the pun, you know yourself, you can't just keep running the ball in any sport. Like, you know, you look at other sports, look at American football, the point of a run game sometimes is to open things up for a passing game and vice versa, you know, and it's the same for Cork here. If you look at, like, you know, we're talking about Cork and Limerick, you look at the best in the business is probably Limerick. Like, they like to play it short, they like to play it through the lines, but very often Dermot Burns just launches one at the back stick to Aaron Gillan, you know, when that space has been closed up. So I think for Cork now, I think maybe, you know, the card they have shown is their intentions to kind of run the ball, and it's whether they can add a variety then in terms of a slightly more traditional aspect to their game. You know, I suppose, like, having that variety going would stand to them. So it'll be interesting to see if they can marry the two.
Henry Shefflin was out doing media yesterday and was talking about the worries he has for hurling as a sport, and says maybe there's less goals, more long-range points. Cork are railing against that. Cork are saving hurling at the moment, Jamie, with their goal-scoring exploits. Is that a natural extension from the running game? Is that why they're scoring so many goals?
Definitely, yeah. Like, it's like you said, if guys are running off the shoulder and if the space is there, then you're going to create overlaps. And if you create overlaps, you're going to create goals. Like, that shouldn't be... that's not revolutionary. I'm certainly not the smartest guy in the room by putting that together. I wouldn't get too bogged down in the whole thing. I think the Limerick game is going to be a nice little test of that, because they are one of the teams that are best set up to not concede goals. Look, I think the game against Westmeath is an aberration. I think, unfortunately for Westmeath, they got drawn into kind of a bit of a lion's den there with that group. And, you know, with the exception, like, when you look at the two groups, they got all the All-Ireland contenders, with the exception of Kilkenny, are in that group together with them. You know, you have the last three All-Ireland winners in the last four All-Irelands, the last five All-Irelands are all in that group as well, you know. Kilkenny are the only All-Ireland finalists since 2013 not in their group. So I think they kind of got a short straw there, in that they got no chance to develop. You know, if you look at the other group, Antrim, you know, they were fighting competitive against Kilkenny. They beat Clare. You look at Laois, they're never getting blown away too badly in those games, because there's a small bit of a step in there. So look, I wouldn't read too much into the seven goals against Westmeath. And I suppose the only reason I qualified that is I don't want to be slating Westmeath or anything. I don't think it's their fault, but there is just it takes a couple of games to get up to that level. The five goals against Waterford was definitely something that you could look at, the way the Cork were playing, because, you know, the two things Cork's goals mainly came from, that they were turnovers.
Oh, you've just gone mute there, Jamie. Honest, we've lost the audio to you there, Jamie. I don't know if there's a call come in or a message or something, but we'll try and get your audio back there in one second. It's really interesting, the influence that backroom team is having. And, you know, we've talked before about the travelling Wilburys aspect of the supergroup.
you got a good laugh out of Cyril Farrell when you used that cultural reference.
Did you know what it was?
No.
Really, you didn't?
Sorry, I'll do a quick Google here, and I'll engage in conversation about the travelling.
It's a supergroup, right? It's the whole notion of a supergroup coming together.
I see. Sorry, yeah. I thought it was a TV show. I thought it was So who's Tom Petty in this? Who's Bob Dylan in this?
Hey, names you recognise.
Assuming who is. I'm not going to name off any other names, because the Wikipedia thing doesn't go that far. Roy Orbison's in it, right?
Right.
What a supergroup, Jeannie Mac. Right. Don't look great, he's Roy Orbison.
No, the Kieran Kingston's Roy Orbison. He puts the band together.
Okay, right. This is an education. The Avengers basically would have been a better cultural reference.
Well, I'm not sure Sarah Farrell would have got it. Jamie Walgan, you're back with us. Here. We were talking about the influence of the backroom team, and
I caught the bit about Roy Orbison. I was a small bit unsure what was going on there.
So was I, Jamie.
have you heard of the Travelling Wilburys?
No.
Oh, right.
That's before my time.
For God's sake, Ger, like, I mean, you're just completely alienating the youth of society.
Well, and explain my point.
There was a nightclub in town called Wilburys before, but again, that was before my time as well. So.
Ger's basically making the point that Cork have gone all Avengers Assemble on their coaching staff, basically, and have got all the great minds together, and they are going to destroy everybody with this collection of brilliance.
Yeah, well, it's a good mark of management, in fairness, here in Kingston. I think, you know, isn't it that saying that, like, when you're the manager, the job is to not be the smartest person in the room. And I think he's done a very good job of getting, you know, he's kind of got Donal O'Grady, and knowing that we're all going to be here talking about Donal O'Grady instead of Kieran Kingston. And I think when you've got a manager who's willing to do that, that's a huge sign. And that's probably a strong part of why Cork are progressing. But you've also got Christy O'Connor there. And I think, you know, Christy O'Connor is going to be very important for Cork this year, especially as a former goalkeeper. He's written a lot of good pieces in the Echo and Cork in terms of, and spoken about puck out retention and stuff like that. And I think that's very important, number one, in terms of, you know, the way the game is going with puck outs. But number two, in terms of, you know, Cork are trying to bed in a new goalie this year with Patrick Collins. Obviously, he's been in the panel for a couple of years, but it's a different thing being number one. So, you know, I think, like, just those two examples alone, before we even get into the rest, shows that Cork have put together a very strong management team.
The one thing, and I'm just like, stick with this for a sec, right? Cork hurling fans must be the most brutalised group of sports fans in Irish life, simply by virtue of the fact that as long as I was alive, they were the most confident and self-sure, and rightfully so because of the quality of hurling that they had been raised on. And yet, they are now officially in one of the longest famines in Irish sports history for a superpower. So, do you allow yourself little moments of idle dreaming about what might be possible this year? Or are you all, as a race, so brutalised that you don't know what it feels like to be hopeful again?
I don't know about that. I don't think you could ever say that Cork hurling people are so brutalised that they are not capable of dreaming about winning the All-Ireland. I think someone said that there was Cork people talking about winning the All-Ireland after we beat Waterford. Like, so I don't think that's something we're lacking. I don't think we're going to be short of people with idle dreaming. I'm pretty convinced there are people in Cork who reckon we're going to win the All-Ireland this year. I at the start of every year, that's kind of one of the beauties for Cork people, is that they do wake up at the start of the year thinking, okay, we're going to win the All-Ireland this year, even when it's absolutely preposterous to say so. I don't think they're as far away, by the way. I don't think they're as far away as maybe some people think, but equally, I don't think it's this year. But if this year could be the start of a kind of 2-3 year process, I do think there's a very good chance for Cork to be successful. And I suppose part of the thinking for that is, I think we're 2-3 years on now. I kind of always forget about the last year that's just gone by because it just seems to nothing. It was kind of a nothing, like, but we're 2 or 3 years gone by since Cork were in an All-Ireland under-21 final. I know they lost to Tipperary, but I would say that they have probably more good players in that team than what Tipperary will get out of it. The following year, they were well beaten by a better Tipperary team in a 20s final. But I suppose the point I'm getting at is you will have a couple of 23, 24-year-olds in the next year or two, you know, which are... they're grown men there, like, and you have then got a very strong cohort of players. You've UCC have won the last 2 Fitzgibbon Cups in a row, largely backed by players from Cork. So there's a strong enough group coming there. And I would say that if they can use this year as that sort of springboard, I think there's a very good chance going forward. But at the moment, I can't speak for everyone else in Cork. It's quite a large county.
Go on.
With quite a lot of people, but I'm not idly dreaming that they're going to be tasting All-Ireland glory this year, but I certainly don't think it's a million miles away either.
Well, that's you've got hope. That's the main thing. The hope hasn't been beaten out. And I think some of it has to do with the fact that the Avengers have assembled and there's a pathway back to previous glory and a plan in place that's clearly visible to everybody.
Definitely, yeah. It's funny, like that's probably the big thing, you know, that word plan. Like, and I think it's more important that they have a plan than it be a perfect plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least if everyone's going in the one direction, if it's not perfect, that's fine, as long as they're going in that direction. And it's certainly something that's visible, is that there is a kind of a direction to Cork's hurling at the moment. I suppose, like I said at the top there, I hope that they can maybe add a bit of variety. I'm all for the support game, by the way. I'm not going to be grumbling on the ditch saying, let it in, or roaring or bawling like that, you know, as you might hear from some more traditional people. But I do think a bit of variety will actually make the run game more effective for them. So I think, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, having that plan and that coherent thought to the way they play the game has definitely helped Cork.
Were people giving out about the short puck outs against Tip?
Like, they were giving out about short puck outs against Waterford. I think Cork scored 2 goals from it, but like, they're still giving out about it. Like, people tend to see what they want to see, especially with hurling. You know, it's one of those things that if you give away a short puck out, people will go nuts over it, but they won't go nuts over you putting a 100-yard ball with 100-yard ball with snow on it down on top of Dan Morrissey or someone, and he just plucks it out of the sky and Limerick get a score off it. Like, they don't actually see that as the direct kind of, they don't see the direct cause and effect, would say, from that. You know, people just see long is far away from our goal, that's good. Short is close to our goal, that's bad. And that's fine, you know, but I think I wouldn't be too worried. I think Cork sharp puck outs make sense. I think, again, like, I'm constantly speaking here now about variety and that, like, but I think sometimes you have to go so far to a certain point to test things out and see what works and see what doesn't. And there's always a kind of a learning point with it, you know. You look at any other sport, look at soccer teams playing out from the back. People say, like, oh, if they get it far away from the goal, they won't concede, but they don't see the scores that they get from playing out from the back, you know, or they don't see that, oh, if you boot it up the field and the other team get the ball for 5 minutes, and you can see that at the end of that 5 minutes, that has actually come from you just booting it when you could have passed it 10 yards to your right. So it's about variety, you know, it's about sometimes not being afraid of a clearance, but equally, you know, when you can play the ball out smart and when there is a short puck out there, like if a team give you that short puck out and if you've got a plan on how to use it, then why wouldn't you use it? You know, like Cork got more scores from sharp puckouts than they conceded from sharp puckouts, certainly against Waterford, the game I was actually at. You know, I think you can see things a lot clearer there, and you can see what's going on in front of you a lot clearer. And I think that's probably something that, you know, when crowds come back, I think it'll make more sense to more people when they can see what's actually happening in front of their eyes. Because, you know, when you're watching it on a television screen, at best you can only ever see probably a third of the pitch. You know, you can't see what's happening 80 yards down the pitch and why a goalie is reluctant to poke it down on top of what might be happening down there.
Yeah, no, that all makes sense. Jamie, great stuff. Enjoy the game. Thanks a million.
No bother. See you, lads.
Jamie Wall giving us some thoughts there about Cork and Limerick at the weekend. I think it's going to be interesting. The reason I asked that question about the famine is because I still think one of the biggest what-ifs in Irish sports history, there are a few, obviously, what if Roy Keane had played in Saipan or hadn't left after Saipan. But what would have happened hurling if the strikes hadn't happened, if there had been peace with the county board, if Donal O'Grady and John Allan had stayed on, any combination of that as the Cork management team, and there had been peace within that camp and they had come up against the greatest Kilkenny team of all time, what level of rivalry would we have got to? Because we'd already had three Ireland finals, we'd already had 3 years where obviously Galway interrupted that, but where these teams were getting up to each other, and the second spin of Kilkenny as it was driven on after that Galway game, what would that have been like coming up against the short puck out and Don Logue and that team?
Yeah, it's really, like, they were the one team who were really leading the way when it came to innovation in the game. Obviously, Kilkenny had a better bunch of players who just had talent all around the pitch. And of course, they were very shrewd as well.
A deeper bunch. I don't know about better. I mean, certainly there were more of them, but like that Cork team were absolutely sensational.
They were a very talented bunch, but like the thing that you definitely think about is that they thought around games in a more advanced way than most other counties at that point. So how would that development have actually got to, or what stage would it have got to in the late 2000s had things been a little bit more peaceful in the county? And also as well, what would have happened to maybe some of the younger Cork teams coming through when it comes to that level of coaching and expertise that would have dripped down through all the different parts of Cork? Like, they are the superpower in hurling. Like, there's no getting away from it. They're not a superpower, they're the superpower. Until Dublin actually come along and own hurling at some point down the line, Cork is still the superpower in the sport. And the drought is way too long for a county of their size and of their importance. The 2010s, I think, the first decade without an All-Ireland, I want to say since the very early 20th century, since the first couple of decades, I want to say, I know somebody that statistic's been thrown out there a lot.
Imagine the scenes when they win one.
It's going to be incredible, and it will happen eventually. There's just too many good hurlers in Cork for it not to happen. Like Jamie points out there, that people were maybe getting carried away a little bit after the Waterford results and thinking about the All-Ireland. I think that's just natural with Cork at the moment. I think no matter who you are, I don't think it's actually unique to Cork. I think if there's any team who, say for example at the start of this Premier League, at the start of the next Premier League season, if Manchester United win their first couple of games, everybody will be thinking Manchester United are going to win the Premier League. That's what comes with being a team of heritage and a team that believe that they can do great things in sport. That's what Cork are, and they will. Like, I'd be very surprised if we go another decade without Cork winning an All-Ireland. It should happen in the next couple of years, and I think that there is more substance to the idea that they're dark horse this year. They've always been mentioned as a dark horse.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's proper substance to it, and I think that we should see some this weekend.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.